This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It certainly looks like the Oklahoma City Thunder are not going any farther than they did a year ago, even with the extra pieces that they brought in. Russell Westbrook signed a new contract in the fall of 2017. But if you're Russ, would you start to want out? Or would you start to put some more pressure on Oklahoma City management? Because what they've done hasn't worked. If you're Paul George, do you want to go somewhere else? I don't think it's about the market. I don't think it's about Russ. Although at times, it certainly did look like last year's version of the Thunder, which was Russ and a bunch of role players, that was easier. But, you know, there's always a learning curve. There's always a transition period when you change a lot of pieces on your roster. And if you bring in guys who are used to being the number one on their former teams, well, then it's even more complicated. And so with Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, Steven Adams, Corey Brewer, every now and then will provide a little offense. They missed the defense of Andre Robertson for sure. He's been out for more than half the season. So the Thunder tried to bring in some pieces that would catapult this team into a position of championship contender. And Westbrook has been, he's been the guy who not only spoke about loyalty, but then signed a couple of different contract extensions to keep him there.
You're a real MVP.
He will have the option of leaving after next season, if that's what he wants to do. But for now, and actually he could end up being there through 22-23.
I don't want nobody to try to split us up.
There are all kinds of options. You know how the new contracts are. They're the newfangled contracts in the NBA. And sometimes in Major League Baseball, too. Opts out after 2, 3, 4. Anyway, if you're Russ, has this become too much? If you're Russ, do you think, man, I've been here for a long time and it's not changing? Now, he's the reigning MVP, as you just heard with the sniffing. But that's not enough. It's not enough for LeBron James. It's not enough for any one player to be able to drag his team to a championship. No longer works that way in the NBA. So if you're Russ, do you reevaluate your options, your priorities? Maybe reevaluate your loyalty. If this is where the Thunder wrap up their postseason. And that's a big if. The series isn't over yet against the Utah Jazz, but they are in a 3-1 hole. I love the fans in Oklahoma City. I am so partial to the fans in OKC for a lot of reasons, but they waited for a long time to get a pro football. I'm sorry, pro football. They do love their football. In fact, they consider their teams to be pro teams. More important than pro teams. They waited a long time to get a pro sports franchise. I guess for a bit, they had the Saints playing in OKC. But certainly for them to be able to have this franchise, embrace this franchise, the way that they've adopted it, the way they're all in, the games are almost always sold out, the atmosphere is electric. But this is disappointing. They don't go any farther. This is disappointing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. And then you can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio. also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That wasn't the only basketball game taking place on Monday. The Houston Rockets come out of the halftime locker room against the Timberwolves and drop 50. 50. And so in the third quarter, when the score was 50 to 49, actually, to start the second half, 50 to 49 against the Wolves to start the second half, Houston goes nutso. And they start with a run of 11 consecutive points, but that was just the appetizer. They were just warming up.
He's going to go for a second one now. It is on the way, and it's good. And Chris Paul has given the Rockets a 12-point lead. The Rocket run of 11 straight. 61-49, and just like that, it's a big, big Rocket advantage. Flips to the Beard. Straight away, one more on the way. Oh, yeah. James by himself sending some folks to the exits. 83-60 on another three ball. Chris Paul flips to EG. Give it out left corner. Paul for a CP3. And the Rockets have hit 90. 4 seconds left to go. Paul right side. EG for 28 down the corner. And he knocks it down. Good gracious. Leave, Minnesota. Leave. You want no more of this.
An aggressive Craig Ackerman there on the Houston Rockets radio network. So the Houston Rockets, they come out with 11 consecutive points and then drop 50.
Smoking hot.
That, absolutely. Harden himself had 22 of those 50 points. So nearly half. And then Chris Paul had 15 of them. So between the two of them, the two Houston point guards, they had 37 of the 50 points.
Nerd alert.
They were in some kind of zone. And it was almost a record. It wasn't a record, actually. But only one other time in NBA playoff history has a team drop more points in a single quarter. The Lakers did it back in 1962.
Take that for data.
And so... this was a near record, and it was almost laughable, unless you were the Timberwolves, of course. Just stunning. I'm not sure what happened when the Timberwolves came out of that halftime locker room, but it certainly wasn't the same thing that happened with the Rockets. Something else that jumped off the page at me, and I, even as you're watching the game, you recognize that the Rockets are jacking a bunch of threes, because that's what they do. But they took 43 shots from beyond the arc. Wowzers. So it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It wasn't that long ago, just maybe a day or two ago, that Harden was talking about how the Rockets were out of rhythm. And they did lose their last one in Minnesota. Not a surprise. I mean, the Timberwolves have a strong home court, and they do have some talented players. And again, this was a one-point game at the break. But you can see, it was pretty evident from that third quarter that not only did the MVP, front runner, I've had the front runner part, not only did the MVP front runner settle into a groove, so he was 0-for-7, I think, to start the game. Not only did he settle in, but the entire offense just clicked.
Just the entire team, we were confident. You know, we had a good talk yesterday, good practice yesterday. And even, you know, most of the guys stay after, you know, practice just to shoot the basketball and be aggressive, you know. So, you know, you see Trevor coming out hot, and that kind of carried over.
So, yeah, they're confident. I can't imagine why they wouldn't be. Even dropping the one game, they're now up 3-1 over the Wolves in their 1-8 playoff series in the Western Conference. Also, the fans in Minnesota at Target Center were creative. They were shouting... I mean, little misplaced aggression. But they were shouting, "You suck," at Harden and CP3.
I just like to hear I like to hear stuff like that.
It's playoffs, they're supposed to.
Yeah, playoffs, they're supposed to. And they really don't mean it. They just got to say it just because hopefully it makes them feel good. I don't know.
Freaking suck.
They don't mean it. They probably do mean it. But it's not accurate. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love to hear from you about whatever happened in the NBA or the NHL on Monday. And certainly, there's a potential still, even though you've got these two series now. Even though you've got these two series now that are at 3-1 in the West, and the Sixers, who are at 3-1 in the West as well. I'm sorry, in the East over Miami. That game, I lose track of the NBA schedule. This is just a side note. Because they don't do it like the NHL does, where it's like every other night. They have some weird scheduling. I think it's algorithms. I want to blame the Facebook algorithms, actually. And so you've got Philly and Miami, who will play on Tuesday night, and there's an opportunity for that series to be closed out. And then in the West, I guess, the three series that are remaining, they're all at 3-1 now. So maybe we won't get any Game 7s in the West, but we certainly could get a handful of Game 7s in the East. And we have our one solo Game 7 in the first round of the NHL. So yeah, coming up on Tuesday, there are two series that could end, and then Milwaukee and Boston, which will have that pivotal, critical, all-important, crucial Game 5. I mean, I don't think it's too much to ask for multiple Game 7s. I kind of feel like that should be in the wheelhouse here with the NBA. If you're Adam Silver, the commissioner, you've got to be pretty happy with the way this first round has gone, not just because there's the potential for Game 7s, because if you look at the East and the West, and maybe there's fewer teams in the West that fans think could end up in the NBA Finals. I mean, I can't speak for all fans. But you've had these four teams, the Pelicans and then the other three that are leading in their series. They've risen to the occasion, right? And so they've set themselves apart. In the East, who has any freaking idea who's going to end up in the conference finals? Forget the NBA finals. And if you say that you know, you're just bluffing. So you can find me on Twitter, as I say, A-Law Radio. If you're Russell Westbrook, are you getting kind of frustrated now and thinking maybe I need to reconsider?
I know.
My options. I know that you know that I know that you know.
Everybody know.
Well, not everybody know. Everybody like to say they know, but everybody doesn't actually know.
Little do they know is, I know.
Such good audio. All right, and you can find us on Facebook, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
They know who they run and they talk to. They know who I know.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate your tweets and your messages on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way that you can save money. You can switch to Geico, and if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and I was just musing about the Oklahoma City Thunder, still thinking over this scenario for the franchise. It wasn't that long ago that the Thunder reached the West Conference Finals 4 out of 6 years. I mean, seriously, that's not too distant past. But of course, that was Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook together. So a pair of MVPs. That goes back to, and of course, you're not going to forget this if you're an NBA fan, but the last conference finals appearance was against the Warriors. And it was a 7-game series. And it was the last time that we saw Kevin Durant in a Thunder uniform, because after that, he went to Golden State and got called a cupcake and many other things. Either way, he's had the last laugh and he's all good.
Yes.
But those 4 conference finals and 1 NBA finals, which they lost to the Miami Heat, those represented the height of what the Thunder have accomplished since they moved from Seattle, or since they were moved from Seattle. We know in today's NBA, not even LeBron James can will a team or carry a team, teleport a team to a championship without help.
In fact, he's the best player in the world.
Right, but that only goes so far. Even LeBron James right now, even if he scores 50 points, still needs pieces around him. I mean, think about the Cavaliers. Kevin Love's supposed to be that number two. He's struggled a bit to start the playoffs. Kyle Korver, when he's your second leading scorer, that might be an issue when you're up against the best competition in the NBA. Yes, he can shoot the lights out from three, but he's not creating on his own. And I don't think anybody's going to call him a superstar. That's all right. He's making money playing basketball. I'm not knocking him, only saying that Kevin Love needs to play like that superstar for the Cavaliers to go deep, and they need to get production from other guys as well. So here are the Oklahoma City Thunder, who had the 1 year with Russ and a bunch of role players, and they lost in the first round. And literally, Russ dragged that franchise to the playoffs. So now, with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony and a team that is, over the course of the last, 7 months, figured out its roles and how to be a solid team in the West. They've gone through some ebbs and flows, for sure. It hasn't always been smooth, but it rarely ever is when you change major pieces like that for any team. There's a good chance that the Thunder could be out again in the first round. You can't always throw a bunch of all-stars together and expect that it's going to be something like the Golden State Warriors. It doesn't always work that way. But if OKC is done in the first round again, what is the franchise's next move? That to me is really fascinating, but also frustrating. It's like using the dartboard analogy and throwing darts at that board and hoping you hit a bullseye. And so far it's not been that. And it's difficult to replace a guy like Kevin Durant. He's one of the best, not just that, but you may laugh at it now, but he and Russ had a pretty good yin and yang going on. I mean, there was a give and take there. Batman and Robin is what I called them, but they kind of complemented each other, both personality-wise as well as on the court with their different skills. And so now, thinking about it, it was 4 out of 6 conference finals. Nothing to sneeze at. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We kind of see it with players who they'll give it everything they got. They'll give it, like in the case of Russell Westbrook, heart, soul, blood, sweat, tears, and hold on to this ideal of, yeah, we're going to win a championship here. We're going to win a championship here. And yet, like a Chris Paul, now Paul obviously was traded from New Orleans first and then went to L.A., and he was their guy. And they had unprecedented success with the Clippers with Chris Paul at the helm. But writing on the wall for CP3 felt like they'd kind of hit their ceiling, and that was it. And he wants to win, and he wanted to be part of something big, and he wanted to be part of something special. And I do not blame athletes who've been around the block a few times. I mean, it's hard to win a championship. It's really difficult to do so. And in a league like the NBA, where you've got these formations of super teams and these groups where even a big three is just a starting point, Everybody needs their big three.
Four Hall of Famers.
Four Hall of Famers is nice. And a lot of it's a, you know, a product of the time in which they're playing. You know, if there's no Golden State Warriors, then things look a lot different. If there's no LeBron James, well, then things look a lot different. If you never had the big three in Miami and then him moving to Cleveland and with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving and putting a team together for the express purpose of winning a title. I mean, you know, you're not operating a team in a vacuum. There's always external factors. It's the division you play in, the conference you play in. It's the other teams that you run into. So there's only so much you can control. But there's got to be some frustration there with this idea that the Thunder have done, they've taken multiple shots at it. They've done a variety of different things to try to bust through. Losing a guy the caliber of Kevin Durant is difficult to recover from, even if you do have a Russell Westbrook. All right, so you can find me on Twitter. I see a bunch of your tweets now popping up. A-Law Radio. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Let's see. I like the response from one Major League Baseball player. And also, I'm not sure there was a show. Well, there are show, but not many shows on CBS Sports Radio on Monday that Sam Darnold did not grace with his presence, which means the NFL draft is nearly here. So we have some draft talk that we can do too.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep left field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Giancarlo. Non si può stopparlo. It's a Stantonian home run deep in the left field seats. And the Yankees take a 5-1 lead.
Just feeling more comfortable on all cylinders too. Just seeing the ball, having a better approach, and you know it's a building process.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, I would say 4-for-4 with a home run definitely indicates a comfortability. That's sports, though. You fail more often than you succeed. And sometimes people remember your failures more than they remember your successes. It kind of depends on where and when they are. But the fifth home run of the year for Giancarlo Stanton, and you heard it there with John Sterling on the Yankees radio network and then postgame on the Yankees TV network. Yes, network. So three runs for him, a couple of RBI, and most importantly, zero strikeouts. That's an answer. And the Yankees pound the Twins 14-1. Sometimes I still think it's too early in the season to be talking about scores. It's more about records, I guess, early on. But even as I was looking at some of the records and kind of division standings, which I, again, don't pay much attention to in April because it's such a long season that anything can and will happen, I was reminded that it was late April last year when the Dodgers were below 500 and then started that insane run of theirs that catapulted them to a nearly 20-game lead in the NL West. And we're talking about an NL West that got three teams in the playoffs. And so a lot can happen. I am rooting for Giancarlo, though, simply because I want him to answer back to all these people who've been booing him now in the first month of the season. And he's handled it really well. I appreciate his attitude and the fact that he just wants to be one of the guys. But trying to think about it from his perspective, yes, he is the reigning NL MVP. But he's also taking on a brand new challenge, and he wants to win. I mean, he wants to be part of a winning team and I think fit in a place where, hey, let's look at it from a perspective of an outsider of New York. It's a tough place to succeed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's especially tough to succeed when you've got a major white-hot spotlight on every single thing that you do. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. Kathy is listening in Portland. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning, ma'am. I was calling because it seems to me that part of the problem for OKC is that really Westbrook isn't much of a teammate. And I feel that way about LeBron as well. You know, he can keep guys for, you know, a year or two or maybe three, but they're ready to go away. And that kind of thing just isn't sustainable. And it just seems like kind of a pattern for Westbrook. I just don't think they're going to get anywhere with Westbrook.
So you think he's the issue?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I just think that, you know, chemistry, and I mean, chemistry is obviously not everything, but it's a lot. And it's hard to blame Durant for wanting to go away. You know, Harden went away, you know.
Well, Harden's choice to go away, if you remember, was because he wanted to be a feature guy, and he wasn't going to be there in Oklahoma City. They weren't going to pay him like a feature guy, not when he had Russ and Durant on the same roster. He wanted to be a starter. He wanted to be a number one option. He wanted to be paid like that. So it was his choice to leave. I get that they traded him, but he wanted to go somewhere else.
He wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He wanted out. But if they were thinking they were going to win championships, you know, he might have been a little more content. You know, he saw a ring in his future. But, you know, Westbrook is like a black hole.
Interesting. I mean, he's certainly really intense, and he's a number one guy, obviously an alpha male on the court. I haven't heard anybody complain about being his teammate or, you know, you don't hear those kinds of things. It's just that he's the number one guy. I mean, he is the leader for sure.
Guess maybe I didn't put it very well. I don't know they're complaining about being his teammate as far as a human being, but, you know, I don't think there's any future in it. His style of play and the way he does things, he just goes berserk in the fourth quarter. He just throws up shots.
Well, right, you know? But generally he's pretty successful. I mean, the man's back-to-back years averaged a triple-double. There are far more role players in the NBA than there are superstars. Not every guy's a superstar. The bulk of your roster is filled out with role players and guys who are good at maybe one or two things, not good at everything, and certainly not going to be the feature player on a roster. I mean, you need more of those than you need Russell Westbrook's.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. But I think that he and LeBron James don't have the facility for keeping a group together. I think their style of play and such, not that they don't have, they do get assists. You know, they do get triple doubles. But I think that it doesn't work. And I think that those kind of problems seem to be happening over and over around those two guys.
Well, I'm not sure how much of it is LeBron making his own decisions, though, too. We joke a lot about him being the general manager, but it certainly seems like he's done a bunch of work on his own rosters from going to Miami and putting that group together. I mean, he and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh knew that they were going there together. They even worked out the finances so it could be possible. And then when he went back to Cleveland, he was one of the big reasons why the trade was made to bring Kevin Love in from Minnesota and all the different free agents. A lot of that was because those are people that he wanted. He wanted the Cavs to pay Tristan Thompson, so they did. So maybe in LeBron's case, it's because LeBron changes his mind, not so much because the franchise does or the players do.
That's a valid point.
All right, Kathy, it's good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
it's easy to say Russ must be the problem because they can't win, but I see it from the other side of things. Like I was saying to Kathy, you have far more role players than you do superstars in the NBA. And role player is not a bad thing here. It's like in the NFL where people say a game manager is a bad thing. No, not everybody has the biggest arm and can throw Hail Marys or operate like Aaron Rodgers in the NFL, and not every NBA player is capable of putting up a triple-double night in and night out, nor is that what's required of them. I mean, a lot of these guys have one or two things they do really well, and credit them, they play basketball for a living. But that's a lot of times where you develop chemistry, because you have one or two alpha males or females, whichever we're talking about, men's or women's sports, and then you've got different personalities and different skill sets that complement those leaders and those stars. It's again, hard to say. I mean, if Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder win a championship, does then you snap your fingers and that narrative changes? Oh, yeah, well, I guess he wasn't the problem. I mean, it's certainly easy to brand him the problem when they haven't won. But if you look at the teams, again, with Kevin Durant, those two guys helped the Thunder to 4 conference finals in 6 years. After 1 year with Paul George, and it may just be 1 year with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, I mean, they made the playoffs again. They're running into, I think, a better team. Maybe not more superstars, but a better team. And they kind of dissolved into a mess on Monday night. Does that mean you kind of crumple up the piece of paper and start all over again? I mean, Russ is an incredible player, but he still can't do it all by himself. So I tend to point the fingers more at the front office. And again, trying this experiment with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, who certainly has adopted more of a role player role, I was going to say. He's adopted more of a role as one of those guys who isn't looking to be the first option. I think he would be content to win a title or even to get to the NBA Finals. I'm not sure that's fair to Russ, but that's just my opinion. 855-212-4227. Jeff is listening in Baltimore.
Hey, Amy, I had a quick question, NFL draft question. No one's talking about my team, so I just want to know your opinion. What do you think the Ravens might take in the first round?
No one's talking about your team, not even in Baltimore?
Nope. No one's talking about them. So I just want to know what you think.
What do I think about what?
Like, who do you think they might take in the first round in the NBA draft? I mean, NFL draft, sorry.
I mean, I think they need a wide receiver. It would be great if Calvin Ridley was still available, no?
Yes, who are you telling? I'm praying on it, but I doubt it. Who do you think might be there, though, when they do pick?
Well, he might be available. You don't know that he's going to be gone by 16, right, is where they draft?
Yeah, 16.
I mean, I don't know that he's going to be gone by then. But there are a couple of other guys that I hear floating around in that area, like DJ Moore, another wide receiver. Who's the one out of Texas A&M? There's a receiver out of Texas A&M, too. Christian Kirk.
Something like that. Yeah, I couldn't think of him off the top of my head.
But wide receiver, I think, would be the first option. The sad thing is, I mean, they still need help on offense, but the sad thing is it feels like they keep trying at wide receiver, and they've had some, obviously, picks that have blown up in their face that haven't worked. Same thing with tight end. They've been trying to fill that hole through the draft as well. Offensive linemen, I wouldn't be upset if they got another offensive lineman or two, though I wouldn't say they have to spend their number 16 draft pick on him. But they still need offensive help. That's still the area where they need to fix their roster.
All right. Sounds good, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm kind of sad that no one in Baltimore is talking about the Ravens draft. How is that possible? I mean, think about it. You have the Orioles. I mean, I guess there are some... There got to be some fans that are interested in the Washington Wizards, right? I mean, that's kind of that same metro area, sort of. Stop it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Although crickets make me think of spring and summer, so I guess it's okay. Carlos is in Irving, Texas. Carlos, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, thank you, Amy. Definitely want to tell your listener, I'm pretty sure the Ravens organization's talked about the draft list.
I hope so. They're not going to just wing it.
Never mind that, though. But I'm over here wondering why Kawhi's not signed to the Spurs yet. And, you know, I would think, you know, Popovich might retire next year, and why not go out with a bang and sign LeBron?
It's a good question. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried. I'm just not sure that now it's not like I know what's in LeBron's brain. But I don't know that San Antonio is maybe on his radar. we don't know what's going to happen with Kawhi. Certainly, that marriage right now is it's in like the 7-year itch or something. I mean, they've definitely got some things they have to address in the offseason and some things they have to talk about and work out. But I don't know that we should slam the door on that. I don't know that it's automatically going to be the end of Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio. I mean, if you think about where the season started and how LaMarcus Aldridge was unhappy with his role, and he was talking about wanting out and wanting to be traded and not thrilled, and he turned out to be one of the best things about their season. So things can change, and it's not done yet. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if LeBron's leaving. I don't know if he wants to go to a city like Los Angeles where the business opportunities and the bright lights are all around all the time. I mean, I have no idea. I kind of hope he stays in Cleveland, but that's just me because I like the sentimental and the ties.
Maybe it's about a ring, though.
Well, he's got a couple of those, you think? He's got three now.
Compared to MJ.
Huh. Well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have to get some – wherever he goes, then they're going to have to get more around him. Because even right now in Cleveland, I mean, I think Kevin Love is a star. He's not playing great to start this postseason. But without more, they're not going to be able to – they're not going to be able to win another championship. I don't even know if they'll get out of the East the way they're going right now.
Chemistry is, you know, a major factor to continuity.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of think the younger guys love playing with LeBron, though. It's like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing that ever happened in our careers. So, yeah, let's see how it plays out. I wish I knew, but here's what I love, that the East has three series that are tied at 2 going into Game 5, and that, honestly, even if you're totally blowing smoke, you have no idea who wins that conference either. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.